Yeah, we have a quorum, so let's rock and roll, guys.
Okay.
Do I want to call into order this meeting?
Yes.
Are you going to do that? Do we need to take a roll or what?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is a special teleconference meeting for the commission to consider adoption of proposed changes to sections 120.3 and 120.45 of Title 14 California Code of Regulations regarding the commercial spot prawn fishery. Since it's a teleconference call, we will take a roll call, and any votes will also be taken by roll call. President Michael Flores.
Here.
Vice President Mike Chrisman.
Here.
Commissioner Sam Shookit.
Here.
Commissioner Jim Kellogg.
Here.
Commissioner Bob Hattoy. Mr. President, you do have a quorum, 4 out of 5. Just briefly, the commission was originally scheduled to consider adoption of any proposed changes to the spot prawn trawl or the spot prawn fishery at its December 6th meeting. However, it did not have a quorum at that time. A special hearing was held on December 20th in Sacramento. At that time, the commission took action to keep the trawl fishery closed until March 1, also authorized its staff to publish notice of all of the regulatory items that were originally noticed on pursuant to your August 2nd meeting in San Luis Obispo. The commission also requested the spot prawn trawl fishermen that were at the December 20th to submit a data collecting plan by the commission's February 6th meeting. An outline of that plan was submitted to the commission at that time. The commission took public comments at your February 6th meeting in Sacramento, and as I indicated earlier, this hearing is scheduled to consider adoption of any of the alternatives. Commissioners have been provided with a series of reports provided to you by your marine consultant, Mike Weber. Also faxed to you this morning was a letter from the
NRDC,
APEX, the Ocean Conservancy, Oceana, and the Defenders of Wildlife, sent to the commission recommending that the commission close the spot prawn trawl fishery, and if it decided to convert the trawl fishermen to trap fishery. With that, Maria, or is Patty going to make the department's presentation?
No, Christine Barsky is going to make the department's presentation.
Okay, Christine. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. A number of groundfish species were taken as bycatch during the department's bycatch observer program of the spot prawn trawl and trap fishery. In the department's report on the program, the estimated bycatch for the trawl fishery of Bokashio was 5 tons, and for Calcod, it was 1.2 tons. Bokashio and Calcod rockfishes have both been designated as overfished rockfishes by NOAA Fisheries and are under strict federal rebuilding plans. Scientists estimate that recovery could take decades, even with no directed fishery or targeted fishing on these species. In 2002, the catches of Bokashio in California exceeded the combined recreational and commercial rebuilding allowance of 100 tons by May. This year, the rebuilding allocation for Bokashio is zero. In order for for some of California's fisheries to continue to operate, the state has committed to keeping the unintentional bycatch of bacalhau from all sources, recreational and commercial, to less than 11 metric tons in this year. This level of bacalhau mortality does not allow for rebuilding. The Pacific Fishery Management Council adopted management measures relative to bacalhau and talcod incidental catches based on the assumption that there would be zero bycatch taken in the spot spawn trawl fishery. You should have a copy of the PFMC scorecard that was sent to you by Bob Traynor last Friday. It's entitled Table 1, PFMC Estimates of Rockfish Mortality. And if you look down the columns, you can see what was allowed for each fishery under, for example, bacalhau, and then the grand total at the bottom. At your August 2nd meeting, you directed the department to prepare a package of regulatory options based on the recommendations contained in the department's observer report. In review, those options included a permit moratorium on new permits, an observer program, a trawl prohibition with trap conversion, depth restrictions, gear restrictions, and a seasonal closure. Most of these options do not eliminate bycatch of overfished rockfishes. In addition, the trawl prohibition with trap conversion option in the package is no longer appropriate as outlined. In light of the minimal allowances of bacalhau and talcod bycatch for 2003 and beyond, the department is recommending the prohibition of the use of trawl gear to take spot prawns. In addition, the department is also recommending that the take of spot prawns be prohibited when trawling for pink shrimp, as the pink shrimp fishery is regulated differently. If the commission chooses not to ban the take of spot prawn with trawl nets, the allowable bycatch of bacalhau and talcod would have to be reduced in other fisheries. The largest share of bacalhau, 5 tons, and you can see that 5 tons on your scorecard, has been allocated to the recreational industry, with other minor amounts allocated to the other commercial fisheries. If you redistribute some level of bycatch to the spot spawn trawl fishery by allowing it to continue, an equivalent reduction would need to be made in the recreational or other commercial fisheries. The California Rockfish Conservation Area went into effect in January of this year. You should have a table in your package that describes the California rockfish regulations for you. It's called Depth-Based Management Rockfish Conservation Area. I know it's rather confusing, but we'll try and do this quickly and succinctly. Basically, it's south of Point Conception. South of Cape Mendocino, it encompasses the entire mainland coast from 20 fathoms to 150 fathoms, and from 200 to 250 fathoms in a northern area. No trawling is already permitted. In other words, you can't trawl between 100 and 150 fathoms south of Point Conception. Between 50 and 60 fathoms out to 150 fathoms between Conception and Point Reyes, you cannot trawl. And between 50 and 250 fathoms between Point Reyes and Cape Mendocino, you cannot trawl. So trawling is only allowed inside the California rockfish area from 3 miles offshore, for example, in Southern California, to the 100-fathom depth contour with small foot rope and a bycatch excluder device. In waters deeper than 100 and 150 fathoms or 250 fathoms, there is no foot rope requirement. If you look at the map that you were also sent, it's a map of the southern, just the Southern California Rockfish Conservation Area. It does not include the Calcon Conservation Area. The solid line that parallels the coast is the 3 nautical mile, or the state waters line. The heavy dash line is the 150-fathom contour, and the light dash line is the 100-fathom contour. So, for example, if you look at Dana Point, you see that the 150-fathom line actually goes inside state waters. So there's no area to trawl in there. Now, if you go up to Santa Barbara, you see the state line, then you see there's an area between the 100 and the 150-fathom line that you could trawl in. And then there's obviously the deeper area where you can trawl. In light of this closure area and the fact that we do not know what kind of interaction there would be with Bokashio outside of 150 fathoms, or with Calcod for that matter, and also that we do know that there is an interaction with Bokashio in waters shallower than 100 fathoms, there is bycatch likely in either zone, inside or out. Consequently, the department's recommendation is a total prohibition on the use of trawl gear for spot prawns. This should also include prohibiting the take of spot prawns in the pink shrimp trawl fishery. And I know that was rather brief, and if you need me to explain any of the tables, I'd be happy, or address specific questions you might have.
Christine, this is Sam. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Did you, I thought I heard you say close to the beginning that the option of shutting down the trawl with an option to convert the traps is no longer good. Say that, and why is that?
Right now, that conversion is incomplete the way it's written. What it has is qualifications for the trawlers, you know, to be allowed to convert, but it doesn't have anything about fishing, specific fishing areas they could fish, trawl limitations, seasonal closures, plus the fact the capacity goal...
Please excuse the interruption. This is the operator. I have a Bob Hatoy that did not have the passcode to join. May I place him in?
Yes.
Thank you. Sir, you've joined the call.
You owe me, Bob.
Hi, folks. No one ever gave me a password.
Okay.
Should I, like, take
Think
that personally?
It. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's what I thought.
So, consequently, the way it was written without these specifics addressing things like capacity goal, how many traps, where they could fish, we feel that we would need to go back to notice to do a conversion program.
Yeah. Okay, Christine?
Yes.
Well, isn't there currently a traps? There's already a trap program in place, correct?
Correct. There is a restricted access fishery that started in April of last year for the trap people. It's already, you know, and they have trap restrictions and a catch restriction in their second tier.
And a season set, right?
And they have seasons.
So why couldn't we just roll them into that current program?
Well, the way...
What am I missing? Am I missing that we're not banning spot prawn trawling?
No, hold on, Bob.
There he is, Bob. Okay,
Bob,
cool.
Bob, we're asking questions here.
I know, I just didn't know where I came in. I'm sorry.
What happened is that when we wrote it, we just wrote qualifying criteria for the trawlers.
But when you wrote what, Christine? When you wrote the original, when you wrote the package that we're looking at?
Yes. When I wrote that package, it was clear in the summer of last year, and at that time we did not know that this was a viable option because we didn't realize what our requirements for Bokashio and Talcott would be.
Okay,
we
Christine.
Neglected.
Well, how long will it take us then to convert these people over? I mean, we're looking at something where we have to go to, it's going to take us 6 months to a year to do it?
This is Patty Wolf. I'd like to try and answer that question. Our estimate is that under the best circumstances, it would take about 6 months to come up with options. And that is because, you know, we'd have to meet with both trawlers and the trappers who are already in their own restricted access program, because integrating the two would be a whole new restricted access program.
We have to redo the restricted access.
You have to redo the restricted access program. There are some, you know, there are issues of getting together with these guys and having adequate discussions with them. There are issues of coming up with the right technical solution. We would have to revisit the capacity goal for sure, because it would be a different one now. And to be honest, we're not exactly sure how we would develop that and what it would look like. We'd consider some of the things Christine's talking about, possible area kinds of elements to the program, and that's in part because the trap fishery occupies certain areas that the trawlers weren't operating in, and vice versa. And whether the trawlers could trap in the place where they used to trawl would be one question. We have some concerns that it's not as simple as having them also trap in the area where the trappers were, because we set up a capacity goal based on what the trappers had been doing, and there's some question about how much more capacity there is in the place where the trappers have already been working. So there are a number of issues that would have to be addressed. We think, that would take 6 months on the most optimistic picture, and then we would come to the commission with options, and this is a fairly controversial issue. We would imagine the trappers aren't going to like it, probably, depending on what we come up with. And so probably, at least a two, maybe a three commission meeting process. So that's about a year. That would, though, mean that we could probably do it in time for next year's, beginning of next year's commercial season.
Patty, this is Mike. Have we ever gotten any indication from the trawlers how many of them might be interested in converting to traps?
I'm going to defer that question to Christine or Maria. But let me add just one more thing about how long.
Okay.
Remember, you know, we've got a rulemaking list. It doesn't include this conversion package in it because we haven't been directed to do that yet. And that would need to be put onto that list. We've already told the commission that the department's going to be looking at that list. We're starting this week, and then we'll be taking it up to get the director's approval. And then the idea is that we're going to come talk to the subcommittee on the 18th with that list of rulemaking items, and have the subcommittee, you know, provide direction on the priorities. And so this would need to go into that mix, and it would presumably affect other things that are already on the list. So that's kind of the picture, Mr. Flores, of how that
all right
play out.
Well, here's what I don't understand is we've been discussing this for months.
And that's exactly what I was
saying.
And it seems to me like we would have some kind of a sense of how we could, ever since I've been on this commission, we've been discussing the possibility of converting over to back from the trunk. And it seems to me like there should be some way that we could maybe, Patty, expedite this conversion process, if that's what
it is. Well, the best way we could expedite it would be to not do some other thing, and that basically everything else on the list is either there because it's a regularly occurring item. You've asked us to put it on the list is really the reason for most of the other things. And so that prioritization would be what would come into play. But it does, you know, we've had some internal discussions, general terms about how we might approach this, and we haven't done it because we don't, we haven't had the spare time to take it on without being certain that we were going to go in this direction. And it's potentially pretty complicated.
Well, I mean, the fact that it's there as an option, I would assume that, you know, all the things were thought out. And
the things that are in there, yeah.
Patty, can I jump in here? Because I think that I've been involved in some of the other groups at Axos.
So it's your fault?
Well, I want to observe that under the best of circumstances, it takes a year to create a restricted access program or any fishery. And all I hear Patty saying is that if we choose that option, it takes 6 months to a year to take this restricted access program that we created for the trap fishery and tweak it to allow the trawlers to come in. It's simply a very complicated process because you got to work with, you know, with the fishing community, and you have to.
Right, hey Sam. We don't disagree that it's a complex and it's a lengthy amount of time to do this. What I think Jim and I are both kind of caught by surprise is it's there as an option, and we would have thought that all these things would have been thought out and in place. So it is a viable option. What you're telling me is some of these options here were never ever considered viable because they never went through the whole process and thought it out and put all the things in place. I mean, I want to be able to shut down this the trawling, but be able to let these people, you know, make some sort of livelihood and let them convert. Now we're going to say, well, it's going to take another year before you can go back to work. And I think that's grossly unfair.
So that was my whole point of asking for somebody to come up with some facts about the effects of Canada and Alaska shutting down the trawling and going to craft. I don't think it was a secret to anybody that was a definite direction that we were all talking about as a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Weber's report showed some of that information, I think, about what happened in Alaska and British Columbia.
Yeah, it shows that it actually improved.
Yep.
So, I guess what I was trying to say is that we can't expect staff to tell us, yes, we're ready to go until we tell them, yes, this is the option that we want. And the fact that this has been an option for a number of months doesn't mean that it's ready to be put into place tomorrow.
But the trawlers aren't surprised by what's going down. It's not like they're poor little guys that are going to be surprised. The trawlers have been, you know, quite frankly, dragging their feet about doing anything until we take action. Why would they want to move and, you know, transfer their operations from trawling to traps when they can get away with, you know, clear cutting the bottom of the ocean every day that we let them? This is not a surprise to them. This has been going on for months and months and months and months. It's been in the news. It is considered sort of fishing crime number one right now. They know it. They don't want to change. They're not going to change until we kick their asses to doing it.
Hey, Bob.
And if they're out of work for a while, tough shit, quite frankly. So,
hey, Bob. That's really inappropriate.
No, that's my point. I would say it publicly. I mean, we just disagree on it. Come on, these guys.
We're a piece of shit.
I know, thank you. But these guys are really, really, really not acting in good faith. And we're not surprising them with this activity. Come on, they know it's coming around the bend.
A lot of people like this up there to talk.
No, they're either going to learn
hey, Bob,
to start using less consumptive technology, or they're going to be out of business.
Hey, Bob,
that's what happens in the world.
Hey, Bob.
Commissioner Toy.
I want you to know something. I was prepared today to shut down this trawl and give time for converting over. You're going to talk me right out of that.
Well, I'm not trying to talk anybody out of it. I'm just saying these guys aren't going to be surprised by it. Well, I mean, we're not talking about guys who don't know. They've been at
Bob,
every one of our meetings.
Hey.
Bob, stop talking.
Okay.
Let's. We have a lot of people here that want to testify publicly, so let's go to that, Bob.
Okay, before we go to that, we're going to introduce everybody that's here in Sacramento, and then if people would identify that are on the telephone, I believe there's the Monterey office, and there may be a couple others, too, that if you would identify yourselves for the record, we would appreciate it. We'll start with Mr. Duffy.
John Duffy, Assistant Executive Director on the Commission staff. Nick.
Nick Smith.
Governor's office.
We're not getting that.
It was Nick Smith from the governor's office.
Okay, speak up, please.
Barry Broad on behalf of United Anglers of California. Joe Milton, Fish and Game Legal.
Joe Blum, NOAA Fisheries.
Nate Compton, Trawl Fisherman.
Chris Henry, Trawl Fisherman.
Ilson New, NEW, Trawl Fishing.
Marcy Runfield, Foray Region. Aaron Reyna, the Ocean Conservancy.
Bill Cunningham, Deputy Attorney General, Counsel.
Sandy Daniel, Commission Staff.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Riley, are you still on?
Yes, I'm here in Monterey, and I have one fisherman here. Joe Panizzi from Monterey.
Okay, thank you. And I believe Tom Hafer was also on the phone.
Yes, Tom Hafer from Royal Oak, California.
Anybody else?
Maria Vojkovic and Christine Barsky in Santa Barbara.
Right, we got you. And Patty Wolf in Los Alamitos.
Yes.
Bob Hattori, Commissioner, and piece of shit.
Anybody else? We already have the commissioners. Okay.
Before we begin to go further, I just want to apologize for that outburst on behalf of the commission. I think those comments were inappropriate, and certainly the chair does not sanction comments like that. We welcome the public. We are here to serve the public, so I apologize on behalf of the commission.
And let's try not to use
And I'm going to apologize for whoever called me a piece of shit. That's okay.
I had another question for Christine.
Okay.
I have tried to understand the interplay between the option we have that involves the depth restrictions with all the existing depth restrictions, and perhaps it's because I've been on vacation for several days, but I can't grasp it. And you tried to explain it, Christine. Could you take another run at that for me?
Sure.
In other words, as a practical matter, if we adopted the depth restrictions, what does that do? What does that mean?
It means that they can't fish inside the California Rockfish Conservation Area. So right now, there is a narrow piece of, it varies, it's narrow, it's wider, of ocean in Southern California in less than 100 fathoms, but outside of 3 miles. And you can see from that map where the 3 mile line and the small dotted line interact, it's just the area between that dotted line and the dark line where they could fish. So by doing a depth restriction of 150 fathoms, there was no fishing inside that 100-fathom line.
And how much fishing does that leave?
Well, since their primary fishing ground is between 100 and 150, it could leave them, and we don't know, because at least in the north, when the fishery was operating normal, usually they operated outside, there was a small amount of fishing that took place outside of 150, but a negligible amount that happened inside of 100 fathoms.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I will say is that if you put the depth restriction, then the small trawlers are completely out of business, because most of them cannot fish outside of 150 fathoms, they can't.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Christine, describe that fisheries outside of 150 fathoms. I mean, describe how that might look. Trawl fishery. I mean, if we restricted it inside the 150, allowed it outside, what might that fishery look like?
We're just going to have probably between 10, 12 maybe vessels.
Okay.
That are fishing outside of that 150-fathom line.
Out of the current 50 or 60?
Well, in other words, the California Rockfish Conservation Area has already eliminated most of the small vessels. So it's only a larger vessel that's going to be able to fish at that depth, and even they are going to have a hard time.
Christine, is it fair to say that probably 50% of those larger vessels that would fish out there or vessels that came down from the other areas and other parts of the country that were shut down?
Well, we did look at that in Michael Weber's thing. And
I think it was about 5 out of 11, as I recall.
Yeah, that's what he says in his...
In five of the top 11 vessels.
That's pretty close to 50%.
That's enough for me.
Okay, we'll go to public comments now. We have Joe Blum with NOAA Fisheries to make some comments, followed by Mr. Ilsa New and then Barry Broad. And then Karen Reyna.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Commission, Joe Blum on behalf of NOAA Fisheries. Very briefly, the Acting Regional Administrator of NOAA Fisheries Southwest Region sent you a letter on the 17th of January. He asked that I come today and reiterate that we are urging you to close the spot prawn trawl fishery. We would be certainly open to discussions over the summer and whatever on the alternative approach. But we believe, for all of the reasons that staff outlined to you this morning, that the closure is appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. New?
Ilsa New for the spot prawn trawlers. So we don't consume undue important time for all of you. We would reiterate by reference all of our arguments set forth in our written communications of December 19 and February 3rd, which are essentially that the admitted only basis that the Commission used for its proposed regulation of closure, and the Department and the Commission admit it's the only basis, is the Riley, Geibel, bycatch, spot prawn fishery bycatch report 2000-2001. And that is unconstitutionally flawed and defective, and it fails to support the ruling, and therefore the ruling is arbitrary and capricious, unconstitutionally arbitrary and capricious.
Thank you, Mr. New.
Thank you. Mr. Broad?
Mr. President and members, Barry Broad on behalf of United Anglers. We would support action to close this trawl fishery. We do would support, however, should the Commission decide to do so, to put something in place that would allow a process to move forward to give the affected fishermen an opportunity to enter the trap fishery. We understand that a lot of work needs to be done and that there's people in that trap fishery that might have problems with it, but that we believe that has to be worked out. One thing I would inform the Commission of that's a new issue here is that Senator Alpert has introduced, I believe it's SB 326, which would ban bottom trawling generally in California, including this trawl fishery. One aspect of that piece of legislation is that Senator Alpert has committed to work very hard to figure out a means of providing some economic relief for affected commercial fishermen. We believe that that bill dovetails very well with the proposal before the Commission, and we do believe it's in all likelihood the best means to give commercial fishermen some help economically in making the transition to other more sustainable forms of commercial fishing, or if they're planning to leave the industry, to help in that transition as well. So I did want to inform the Commission of that, and we would, I think, should you take that action, be able to say that that bill is consistent with the direction that the Commission is going, and so we urge you to support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burke.
Mr. President, I'm sorry if I may interrupt just for a moment. I forgot to submit this material to February. Thank you.
Sure.
Short memory here. Mr. Duffy. And that relates to Christine Barsky's representation to the Commission at the last meeting that the actual bycatch of Picacha was 236. She apparently did not read the raw data. The raw data shows 24 to 27 vicacci actually caught throughout the entire survey. What Ms. Barsky quoted to you as being actual catch was, in fact, an estimate, which so much of the report is, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Reyna?
My name is Karen Reyna. I represent the Ocean Conservancy, and I'm speaking on behalf of not only the Ocean Conservancy, but Asia Pacific Environmental Exchange, Defenders of Wildlife, Natural Resources Defense Council, and Oceana. I just hope that you all received our letter on February 13th, and I don't want to reiterate what's already in the letter. I want to echo what Mr. Broad had to say and just basically support his comments. And I also want to just clarify something. I have had a chance to review SB 236, and it's actually not a ban on trawling. It sets really strict standards on how trawling is to be conducted, both bycatch standards and habitat impact standards. So it's not an outright ban. It's more of a standardization of trawling. So, you know, some trawling may be appropriate under that bill. And I just wanted to clarify that because I didn't want the commission to get the wrong idea about that bill. And obviously we are in support of that bill. Lastly, I just want to reiterate that that as we've been advocating all along, we do support a closure of this fishery, but we do we wanted to support option four, which is the conversion. We couldn't do that because we couldn't see the details. And I think this is what, you know, the department was trying to tell you on the phone today, is that the actual program hadn't been worked out. But we'd like to support a conversion program. And, you know, we do urge you to try to figure out a way to do that quickly and let the fishermen who want to continue at least try another alternative gear. That's it. Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Did either one of you gentlemen want to speak? No. Mr. Riley, does the fisherman in your office want to make any comments?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that have kind of been left out as far as I can see here. You know, there's a lot of fish experience.
Hey, can we have the people identified?
I'm Joe Panizzi. I'm the guy who called the guy a piece of shit. That's who I am. You know, I mean, you guys want my respect. You guys have a job to do. You guys are trying to manage a fishery. But, you know, if this is tainted and people are not trying to actually help manage a fishery but just shut it down, they don't belong in that position. I mean, we're trying to manage something here. Now, there's a lot of different avenues that could be looked at here. We got fish excluders, you know, like you're talking about closed areas. Everybody's worried about picachos. I mean, I see that, I mean, if everybody's going to allow the sport guys to catch picachos, then we're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have your 5-ton or whatever of bycatch every year that, you know, you want to set aside. I know I'm getting off the subject, but what about fish excluders? How come no one's taken any notice of them? They work really well. Natural Marine Fisheries, they acknowledge that they work well. They use them on the East Coast all over the place, and no one's made any comment about them. I don't understand why. Can you guys make a... Has anyone even looked into that a little bit?
I'll just comment, and I'm not even angry or upset. Let's all just go beyond that. I just have enough information to realize that the gear needs to be banned today. That's what I was getting at. Not closing the fishery, not trying to, you know, work with you guys on putting together, you know, a phase in and phase out period. But the gear is just destructive to the point that we know that it needs to be banned today. That's my point. It's the gear and the method of fishing that I'm talking about, not the fishermen, not the resource. We just have to stop the trawling the way it's going on now. So looking at other options, working with the department on, you know, on phasing in and phasing out of traps and, you know, conversion is all great ideas. I'm just so convinced that the gear needs to be stopped today. That's all I was going off on. Okay, so sorry if it was a personal attack. If you felt that way, I'm sorry. I was talking about your gear, not your livelihood.
You know, I appreciate you saying that, but nevertheless, I talked to about, this last 3 days, I've talked to about 5 guys who are looking at going bankrupt because of this.
And I'm really sorry about that. I mean, I really am, but I'm just saying I'm not personalizing it. I'm talking about the gear.
And you know, being a fisherman, I don't know if you've ever spent time on a boat or if you've actually even gone trawling, but, you know, there's a good chance that you haven't. You know, and just recently here, I just got done with the SANDAB experimental thing this last 4 months of last year. And you know what? I was able to tailor my gear, you know, put in large mesh and do a lot of things to clean up that fishery dramatically. I mean, I brought in 75,000 pounds of SANDABs every month with a very, very, very small amount of bycatch. I mean, it was only maybe sometimes 100 pounds for the month. You know, we're talking about any kind of rockfish or, you know, I think the whole time we caught maybe two bokkachis, two fish in 4 months of fishing, you know. So there's a lot of ways of cleaning up a fishery without having to shut it down. And a lot of that needs to be explored. And I think here as well with the prawn fishery, you know, there's fish excluders, there's areas that you could stay out. So there's a lot of areas that harbor a lot of bokkachis. And the fishermen that are out there that fish, they know where they are, you know. No one, any prudent fisherman, which there's, that's all about you got left. I mean, there's no young kids coming in, you know, that don't know the area that might make a mistake and set gear in a place that there's a lot of bokkachis and, you know, have that mistake made. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if people are looking for avenues to help manage this fishery and help clean it up, I think that there's a lot to be, you know, looked into there. I mean, if everybody's just going to agree to shut it down because everybody's concerned about bottom habitat and things like that. You know, I mean, my grandfather started dragging in 1907. And my dad dragged for another 40 years, and me and my brothers, and we're fishing the same places. If the bottom was being destroyed by our bottom gear, we would not have a fishery at all today. But we can still go to the same places my grandfather went almost 100 years ago, and guess what, guys? There's a lot of fish there. You know, I can't fish there anymore because of the clutches and these new restrictions, but, you know, there's a lot of fish there. And if we were that destructive, I think you guys should take another look at it. Anyway, back to what I said. I mean, managing a fishery, sure, it's complicated. And there's a lot of things that need to be worked out. I mean, you know, it's not easy. And I understand, you know, I mean, you guys have, you know, a lot of people that you have to probably, you know, that you have to be responsible to for, you know, any kind of quota problems or any kind of problems with maybe some of the research that's being done, and maybe like with this bokkachi thing or Calicut or, you know, number of these fish. But, you know, managing a fishery, I mean, I have a small business, you know. I mean, I have to deal with problems all the time myself. Of course, it's on a different scale. But, you know, I have to manage my problems and go on. I don't just go out of business because I can't figure out how to handle this, you know, or that. And, you know, basically you guys are the managers of this business. That's the way it's looked at, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you guys are managing this industry. And if you guys are all intelligent, you guys have all been to college, I mean, you guys should be able to come up with some really good ideas of how everybody can work together and keep things going, keep a viable industry going. I mean, setting it down, that's like going out of business. And, you know, what does that do? That just destroys small communities, people going bankrupt, destroys families, you know. And let's face it, I mean, you know, that's a losing situation. Everybody loses.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Well, anyway, you know, I don't feel that anyone's giving these fish excluders enough, you know, insight. I don't think anyone's done any research towards it, but, you know, I mean, you know, they use them on the East Coast. National Marine Fisheries, they admit that they work well. I mean, I understand you don't want anyone, you know, bottom trawling, and, you know, that's your opinion because, you know, I mean, that's what you've expressed, but, you know, if bottom trawling, like I said, was so bad, you know, we would not have any fishing. There would be no, people would have been broke 20, 30 years ago.
Mr. Panisi, the commission has received testimony regarding fish excluders from a fisherman, I believe, on two different occasions. The department has looked at it. It's listed as one of the options. Mr. Hafer, do you have any comments?
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Commissioners, you have any questions further of the department?
No, I'm ready to make a motion.
I've got a question. This is Mike. I got a question for Christine. Christine, I'd like to revisit the question I asked earlier. What is that outside, if we allow trawling outside of the 150-fathom mark, that you indicated that, you know, a small number of the original trawl fleet would be involved in that. Describe to me what we know about bycatcher, what we know about the possibility of bycatch out there? Is there a lot? Do we know a lot, or we do not know a lot?
Mike, this is Maria, and I think I'll try and answer that question for you.
That's fine. Whatever.
Bycatcher typically are located around high relief areas or rocky areas, and they're found from very shallow waters out to 250 fathoms.
So between the likelihood of bycatcher being between 150 and 250 is pretty high?
Bycatcher do not go outside to 250 fathoms.
But add your chance. I'm asking a question to your staff, please.
They occur from shallow to deep waters. The chances of interacting with bycatcher are highest in the 100 to 150 fathom area, and also for cowcod and canaries. Excuse me, other overfished rockfishes that trawl fisheries interact with. So when the rockfish conservation area was set up, it was to try and encompass the areas where the majority of those representatives from the population would be found, so that the chances of interacting them were less likely inside of that area and outside. That doesn't mean that there aren't bycatcher out there or cowcod that would still be available and more than likely be caught by some trawl activity outside of the rockfish conservation area. In the scorecard that you have in front of you that was produced for council management decisions, the amount of fish that is estimated to this next year to be taken by fisheries along the coast is in those areas outside of 150 and inside of 100 fathoms, the areas that are open to fishing. So it shows that there is estimates to be impacts of all of these different fisheries in those open areas. What's not on that chart, or what's not accounted for, is any bycatch from the spot prawn trawl fishery.
Right.
At zero. So, regardless of where you allow them to fish, we have to estimate how much they're going to take of these overfished species. Right now, we don't have any estimate. The estimate is zero. So we would have to determine what might be the likelihood of the catch in those areas that you might leave open for them. And then we would have to figure out where in this scorecard we would take that amount from another fishery. And taking it from another fishery means that other fishery's season time of year that they could operate, maybe even an area that they could operate in, would be affected also.
Okay, you've answered my question. Thank you.
You guys ready for my motion?
Yeah, I am.
I make a motion that we put a prohibition on the use of trawl nets for the state of California on spot prawn, and that we direct the Fish and Game Department to start the process for allowing conversion to trap fishing for the spot prawn fishery. There's been a lot of comments made today and some personal opinions, and my opinion as a commissioner, who I believe belongs on this commission, in spite of what was said earlier, is that it doesn't take a college education to see that that the trawl nets are raping the fishery along our coastline. So that's my motion.
Do I have a second?
This is Sam. I will second that motion.
All in favor?
You got it.
Gentlemen?
Can I do a roll call?
A roll call.
Wait, 1 second. I just want to say that in that motion of a trawl prohibition, you're including the exclusion of the take of
popcorn and a pink shrimp
fishery.
That's right.
Yeah.
Basically, Commissioner Kellogg, that'd be option number four?
Right.
Okay.
No, it's option three.
This option wasn't even out there, including the pink strip. So it's my motion is the gist of four, including the pink strip industry prohibition on the spot pond. I want a prohibition against trawl nets in their entirety on the spot pond. Fishery and with the directives of the department to expedite the work on programs that convert over to trap fishing.
Thank you, Commissioner Kellogg. I have a second by Commissioner Chrisman.
Shukit.
Roll call.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Yes.
Commissioner Shukit?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes.
Commissioner Hattori?
Yes.
Commissioner Flores?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous. Thank you. With that, we'll move to the second part of our agenda, the executive session. So, commissioners are the only ones that are to remain on the phone. And we're going to move people out of our conference room here in Sacramento.
Hold on, this is Mike. I'm going to step away from the phone for about a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm going too, Mike.
Hi.
I'm an executive. Can't I stay?
Oh, no, I knew they were going to shut it down.